All right, good evening. It's a pleasure to welcome everyone to Shul. I want to thank Benot for once again having a wonderful Rosh Chodesh. You're very close to Rosh Chodesh. We're getting on this coming Shabbos program. Naomi Schiff and everybody else involved, thank you. I don't know who else is. There we go. It's really a very, very special kavod for me. I've had the privilege of knowing Rabbi Yitzhak Goldberg for, I can't figure out exactly how many years, but for quite a while. And from being a somebody involved in the yeshiva, and we were together in YU and beyond, and to see how he has become a force in Eretz Yisrael is truly remarkable. He served as the associate rabbi to Rabbi Beryl Wein. Anybody who didn't get Mishpacha magazine yet this week, he's Rabbi Beryl Wein on the cover of Mishpacha magazine. And the director of Eish Israel. And again, Eish is known for their dynamic speakers in general. And to have somebody who has risen up to the position in which he is speaks volumes to who he is. And besides being an incredible speaker, coming from a legacy of speakers, we had their father probably last night, Tuesday night. I don't know what day it is anymore. to see what he has already done is really very, very special. We thank the Felds for sharing Rav Goldrift with us and for allowing his children to come to spend the Yom Tov, I guess, with them as well, and to let him tag along. So really, it's a tremendous kavod. I apologize in advance that I cannot stay for the entire time. It does not speak anything about Rav Goldrift, it's a chisaron in me, and I will lose out, but because of God, the opportunity, as Rosh Chodesh Nisan is just about upon us, to hear some words as we get ready the Yom Tov Pesach, the Kavod Gadol.
Okay, an honor to be here in the presence of Rabbi Zatz. I should go for the introduction. I really come here for the introductions. That's it. We're ready to go back home. Okay, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. It's in the merit of righteous women that the Geula has come. Let's be honest, if it wasn't for the women, this year would not happen. And if it wasn't for the women, we wouldn't be ready for Pesach. So big yeshar koyach for Benot for putting this together. And it's the women who really took us out of Mitzrayim, and it's the women who are going to lead us to the final Geula. We need to try to find and try to understand how. How is this going to happen? How are we going to, what do we need to do over the next 2 weeks? Rosh Chodesh is tomorrow night, is Shabbos. And if you were to try to think for yourself, what do I need to do to be prepared for Leila Seder? So this is the 2 weeks that it's for. We know that it says Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, you start learning Hilchos Pesach. There's a shita that says that it's 2 weeks. According to everybody, it starts this Shabbos, the preparation. And we know that the preparation, anybody here knows how athletes prepare. There's the physical preparation. You got to get into shape. But there's also the mental preparation. Have you ever seen like the basketball players before the game? They're with their headphones on and they're shooting. They're getting in the zone. So there's the physical preparation. You got to prepare the house. The house has to be clean. It's got to be ready. But there is also the mental preparation. What do we really want to get out of Seder night? Seder night is the most important night in the Jewish calendar. What's that night going to look like? Are we going to miss it? Are we going to have an opportunity to give over our heritage to our children? What is it that's important to give over to our children? Is it this Dvar Torah? Is it this is our family story? Is it our Minhagim? Is it the story of the entire Jewish people? You need to plan out what you want to accomplish Seder night if you want to reach it. What's the role of the fathers? What's the role of the mothers? What are we trying to accomplish this night? If we don't prepare, so then we won't come prepared. Any destination, Israel is known, right, for preparing the best navigation app in the world, which is Waze. The basic methodology of every navigation system, if you want to reach a certain destination, what do you need to do? Number one, it calculates where you are right now. Number two, you have to plug in where you want to go. And then it will navigate a system for you. If you do not plug in where you want to go, if you do not plug in what you want your Seder night to look like, so then it'll be like, okay, we're here. What are we supposed to do? What are we reading? Is this what we did last year? Is that what we did? Is it not? We got lost. We get flustered. You want to be prepared. You got to get prepared. And hopefully that's what this year will be about, to try to get ourselves mentally prepared. And if you're going to be spending the next 2 weeks cooking and preparing, I want to urge you that every week over the next, this is this week, so maybe this is the introduction, but you hear one shiur class or one half hour of preparation for the Seder next week and 1 half hour preparation the week after. If you walk out of this class with just this introduction, which means that you will find 2 other spots to mentally, spiritually prepare for the Seder, Dayenu, I can leave right now, and it's worth it, because that's it. I just gave the introduction. You'll find the inspiration from a few other people, and then you'll. But I cannot stress enough the importance of allowing yourself. And I'm speaking specifically to the women, because let's be honest, us men, we come to the Seder, everything is already set. We're not really sure how it happened, but everything is really organized. The food is delicious. The table was set, and we come in there like royalty. And a lot of times, the women come in, and it's the most draining night of the year. They're the most, they're tired, they're exhausted, right? You have to prepare yourself mentally. You have to make sure that you have the time to rest the day up. Because this is the night where Am Yisrael passed over their tradition from one father to his child, from one generation to the next and to the next. The whole entire story of the Jewish people is based on this night. How are we going to do it? So really, it starts with this Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the beginning of the Geula. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Shmos Perek Yud Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and he says, this is going to be the first of the month. This entire month is a Zman that's Mekudosh. It's a time that is holy, that is unique, that is sanctified. And this entire month is also the month where the space is sanctified. What happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this coming Shabbos, is the first day. It's the 8th day of the Miluim. It's the day where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to build the Mishkan. It took 7 tries to build the Mishkan. 7 days. He wasn't Matzliach. On the 8th day, which is this Shabbos, Aaron HaKohen puts the entire Mishkan together, as we read in last week's parsha. And the entire Sefer Vayikra that we're reading in these week's parashios happens during 1 month. The entire essence of what the Jewish people is all about, the entire building of the Mishkan and how we're supposed to live the life of Kedusha, is during this month, during the month of Nisan. So not only is this the next 2 weeks to prepare us for Leil HaSeder, for that night in the middle of the month, but this entire month is the month that creates this space in time and in our physical space. We don't have a Mishkan nowadays. Our Mishkan, our sanctuaries, our shuls, it's our homes. We have to be able to prepare ourselves to build the Mishkan and the proper avoda of our Mishkan during this month. This is the month where it gets built. Parenthetically, if the Mishkan has a Kohen Gadol, who is the Kohen Gadol of our Mishkan Me'at? If the Mishkan, which is a sanctuary in space, where you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you feel Kedusha. You know what Kedusha is? You feel that sense of clarity. I know what my mission is, what my purpose is. There was a Kohen Gadol who led the Avoda in that space. He's the one who lit the candles. He's the one who brought the Korbanos. Our home is also a Mishkan. And our home also has a Kohen Gadol. Who brings in the Kedusha every Shabbos? Who lights the candles? Who prepares the food and puts it on the Mizbeah so that we can eat holy food, the Kedusha? It's a Mishkan. There's a space that has Kedusha, and there's a time that has Kedusha, and that's what this month is all about. How are we going to do it? I remember once we had a Seder night, and my parents bought a gift to one of my children. It's a beautiful box. It's well wrapped. And Seder night, the kids open up the box, and there's a toy inside. But the child, the grandchild, is only 3 years old. And after a few minutes, what's he playing with? The box. not with the actual thing that the box is here to store. In preparation for the Seder night, many times people are playing with the box and not with the toy itself. Not with the Seder itself. What is this essence of the Seder? What are we supposed to do? Is it reading the Haggadah? Is it saying the Divrei Torah? Is it singing the songs? What is the real mitzvah? And what is our real avoda that we are supposed to do? And if we do it right, how are we supposed to feel? What's the mitzvah, the main mitzvah of Leil HaSeder? What's it called? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. To say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Are women chayv in that mitzvah? It's a discussion. Right? The Chinuch brings down in Mitzvah Chafalet that women are chayv in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me ask you, is it a time-bound mitzvah? You only say it once, right? There's a discussion. What's the difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? How you say it over with questions and answers, saying the entire story from the beginning, not just remembering it. The Chinuch says the women are chayv. The Minchas Chinuch goes and asks the question, what's going on? It's a time-bound mitzvah. And if it's time-bound, why should women be chayv? By the way, it's a nafkamina. What happens if the baby's crying? Should that gotta keep on going? How many times? Young mothers, they're finding, this kid needs to go to sleep and that kid. If women are chayiv, and then you're going ahead with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, do you have to catch up with Agada? Are you yotze by just saying it? Rattling, davening it up? Or do you have to actually say it? How do you actually say it? It's a big nafkamina. It's a nafkamina if a woman needs to be motzi somebody else. So the Minchas Chinuch asks a question. So mitzvah say shazma. And if you want to tell me, what are you going to tell me? Why are women chayiv? Afim hayu be'osanei. So we have some learned women here, right? Afim hayu be'osanei. He says you can't say that. The Tosfos in Megillah says that's only by mitzvah derabanan. This is a mitzvah midoraisa. So I want to say something which a deeper havana in what is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe I'll, based on the Hagdara, the definition of what is the mitzvah, and we understand what we're trying to accomplish, maybe give a new hesber in why women are chayv in this, and then to try to understand how we do it practically. I try to be very practical. How are we going to do it? And then in Yirtzeh Hashem, that will help us transform our city. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, what do we call it? What's the book that we hold Leil HaSeder called? Haggadah. What does the word Haggadah mean? Magid. The main siman is called Magid. Haggadah. Why is it called Haggadah? Why is it not called Vigadat al-Bincha? That's the pasuk. Excellent. But why isn't it called Sipur? A story. Why isn't it called Amira? That's the most popular way to say that I'm saying something. Or dibur. It's speech. Don't say that. It's vihigadita. It's not even a zikaron, a memory. What does the word vihigadita mean? There's two other places where the word lehagid, to say over, appears in the Torah. It appears in a few other places, but these are the two central places where I think it identifies what the word lehagid, the haggadah, the essence of the mitzvah, of what we're trying to accomplish. Number one, we had in the at the end of Parshas Vayikra, Perek Hey. It's when somebody has a testimony and he refuses to say it, and they make him say a shvua, so then he's chayav to bring a carbon ol levior. The way the pasuk says, ve'im lo higid v'nasavono. If he doesn't say the testimony, so then he has to carry his sin. He has to bring a carbon, because if you know testimony about somebody else, you have to make sure to testify on his behalf. You're not allowed to withhold the testimony. Over there, the lashon of the Torah is im lo higid. If he did not testify, v'nasavono. The other time that we have it is in the parsha of Bikurim, that the person raises his fruits, he goes up to the Kohen, And he goes up to the Kohen. He says, "Higadeti ayom, bi'arti hakodesh min habayit." And he says over, and then over there, if you read the Parsha of Bikurim, which happens to be the entire story of the Haggadah, is taken from the Parsha of Bikurim. He says the entire story of the Jewish people. Arami oved Davi, vayered Mitzrayma, and we went down to Mitzrayim, and then we came out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem, you gave me this land, and here are the fruits of this land. And over there in the Parsha of Bikurim, when he says over a quick story of the history of the Jewish people, he gives over the Bikurim, over there the Torah also says, Higadeti ayom. What does the word he give me?
Testimony.
Testimony. When you are testifying about something, could you give a testimony if you heard a story from somebody else that happened to him and you didn't experience it yourself? You can. That's not a testimony. Testimony is when you experience something yourself. You saw it. You saw it yourself. You experienced it yourself. So then you could give the testimony. Have you ever heard someone say a story? It could be an older man saying over a story of what happened to him. Maybe of how he was saved from the Holocaust, or just a story that happened to us. Eretz Yisrael, we have all these, they're telling me stories of what happened in the Lebanon War, what happened in the Yom Kippur War. And a person could get excited when he's saying over the story, and he suddenly gets teary-eyed. And he's getting emotional while he's saying over the story of something that happened to him. Why is he crying? He now lives in a nice house. He's a successful businessman. But he's telling me a story of what happened to him 25 years ago, and he's getting emotional. Why is he getting emotional? Because at that moment, he's re-experiencing and he's reliving the story of what happened to him. It's real. It happened to him. When somebody gives testimony, he's giving testimony to something that he saw. That's called lehagid. When someone brings the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and he says over the story of the Jewish people, it's not a history lesson. He's, this is my story. You want to know how I got this land? You want to know how I got? Let me tell you, my parents got this. I'm already six generations in this neighborhood. And really, they got it from our uncle, from this Shevet. And they got it from the time of Yeshua, and we got it. We left Mitzrayim. And now I'm bringing the fruits. I'm carrying on my family's legacy. This is my story. As Rabbi Jonathan Sachs famously says, in Hebrew, we don't have the word history. It's called historia. We were me'avrit. We took an English word, as modern Hebrew always does. We take the Hebrew, the English word, and we turn it into a Hebrew word, right? Historia. We had Hashem's name at the end. Historia. The history of God. Why? Because in Judaism, we don't have his story. Why do kids, they don't like history class? Why don't they like history class? What does it have to do with me? It's their story. The Incas, the Mayas. No, no. It happened a long time ago. How's that relevant to me today? And by the way, if we give over Judaism as a history lesson, a lot of kids will say, what does it have to do with me? It's his story. I'm living in 2022. Come on, Dad. Come on, Grandpa. This has nothing to do with me. It's his story. But if Grandpa is able to give over, this is my story. That's why in Judaism we call it zikaron. It's a memory. This is my, I want to tell you our family story. This is how I got here. This is the story that we've been passing down for generations. And I want to give it over to you so that you can pass it on to your child, so that this story doesn't get lost. That's v'higadeta lebincha. Say it over to your child. It's your story. It's your personal story. It's your family story. It's your heritage. You feel it. And that's why, when is there a mitzvah to say the story of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yachol mirosh chodesh. I might think I could start saying the story from Rosh Chodesh because this is already the month of the Geula. It's already the time where Hashem says, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is here. The time is ready. The month is ready. This is the time of Geula. Maybe I could say the story of Geula's Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. No. It says in the Haggadah, Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. Maybe I could start saying it when I do the Karban Pesach, when I'm cooking it on Yudalid. Talmud Lomar Bavur Zeh. Bishah Shematzah Umaro Munachim Lefanecha. Genius. What Seder night is all about. They should do studies in all the universities about education, about what Am Yisrael has been able to preserve through the night of Leila Seder. Giving over the story is not just saying over a story, but it's reliving it. Chayav adam leharot et atzmo kilu yatza min Mitzrayim. The way the Lashon of the Rambam is, you have to sort of experience it. By the way, by the Sephardic communities in Eretz Yisrael, you know what they do? They dress up. They wear the cloak. By my grandfather, I remember he wear the kittel, but after Yachatz, when he would put the thing, he would put it on his shoulder, and we would walk around the table singing ka 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 ka. And as a kid, I remember it because I saw my grandfather and my father walking behind him, and all of the grandkids getting up and walking around the table, holding the matzahs on their shoulders. And this is how we left Mitzrayim. I was able to see it. What does a five-year-old, a seven-year-old kid see when he sees his grandfather? Wow! Because, you know, you guys were all very close to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to your grandchildren. If you're zocheh to have grandchildren, grandpa is like, oh, you were there, right? You remember it. It happened just a few years ago, like you're 500 years old, right? And that's the koch. By the way, only two times is there a mitzvah to give something over, not only to your children, but to your grandchildren. And this is what separates human beings from the animal kingdom. Animals also have a very warm, very close relationship. The mother to her calf. She will protect. You can see with birds, you can see with, you don't want to mess with any mom, whether she's the cat or a real human being. That is no separation. But when it comes to grandchildren, that's where human beings are different than the animal kingdom. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's a mitzvah to tell over to your grandchildren. And also by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. I forgot which pasuk it is. There's one pasuk that says, if someone hears here, it's not v'shinata levanecha, but there's a pasuk that says specifically by Talmud Torah, also to give over to your children, to your grandchildren. It's the only two places that it ends, because we're giving over a tradition. We're giving over a story. That's what the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. And the mitzvah is only done b'shah shematzah umar munachim lefanecha, because the entire Seder night is to re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you eat the maror, the real maror, what happens to your eyes? They tear up. You're feeling it. When you're eating the matzah, you're saying, this is the matzah. This is what they ate. It's true. Maybe they got a few extra chumros. They got a little crispier than what they really ate. It was more similar to halafa. I just had a Zoom meeting this afternoon with Gilad Erdan. Gilad Erdan is our Israeli ambassador in the UN. So the UN has been off limits for the last 2 years, but he's been bringing missions of UN ambassadors to Israel because he wants to show these ambassadors who vote in the UN what Israel is all about. So naturally they come to Eishah Torah, which is opposite the Kotel. And I'm fortunate enough sometimes to get a chance to speak to them and to explain to them what the Beis HaMikdash is all about, what the Kotel is all about, what Yerushalayim is the capital of the Jewish people and the Jewish state is all about. So we got a call from him 2 weeks ago. And he says, I'm making a mock Seder at the UN. You know how they make in the White House, like a mock Seder sort of. So he's making a mock Seder at the UN. Over 50 UN ambassadors are coming from the USA, from Japan, from all the different countries. And he wants us to host the Seder night it's I don't know, it's gonna be next week in the middle of the afternoon. and I just had the, I'm like, is the food gonna be kosher l'Pesach? He's like, no, it's not gonna be kosher l'Pesach. We're just gonna have some matzahs and some wine and some bitter herbs to like and like try to explain to them our okay, so I'm gonna, my mission is to try to explain to them the story of the Jewish people and what it is that we give over. Right now it's tricky but they're curious. This is a story that has been passed down for thousands of years, for 3,000 years. It's been passed down, the same story. So I told Gilad Erdan, I'll print it for you in English. I'm going to give you a cue, and I want you to say something that Ben Gurion said in the house, in this building, when we're going to be speaking. It's going to be in the UN building. That he said in the UN building in 1947, when he was trying to rally up all the UN ambassadors to vote, that Israel should become a state. He's like, what did he say? So I said, I'll send it to you. But pretty much the story was, and this is a famous thing that Ben Gurion said. He said he stood up there in front of all the UN in 1947, and he says, we know that the Mayflower came to America. That's where the pilgrims came. It was the beginning of the liberation, a new country. You ask an Englishman or you ask an American, what was the exact date that the Mayflower left England? What was the food that they ate on that boat? They wouldn't know. But you ask any Jewish child, what was the day that his family left Egypt? They will tell you exactly what day. They left on Tesvav Nisan. And you ask him, well, what did they eat that night? They ate matzah. They ate Korban Pesach. There was also maror there. They know the entire, they ate a shawarma. What was it? The matzahs back in the day was a lafa with some shawarma meat and some lettuce. That was it. That's the korech. He knows it. And that's until today we eat shawarma. That is, and Ben Gurion says, this is the reason why I'm vouching here in front of all of you. This is our land. This is our country. I'm not coming because it's a new thing and we're just Holocaust survivors. I'm coming from back there. When he was able to say that, the UN ambassadors are able to vote that Israel should become a state. This is the story that because of, in the merit of this, we're zocha to have the land of Eretz Israel. We're zocha to have generations and yeshivas there. Because this is the story of our family. Now, how do we give it over? Only b'sha shemato mar munachon lefanech. And I want to expand on those three things in one second. But by the way, just to close off, the kasha that we asked on the Minchas Chinuch, on the Chinuch itself, the Minchas Chinuch says, why are women chayv? It's a time-bound mitzvah. And the Minchas Chinuch says they should be pater. There's a Ramban that says, he says the Chiddush by Sfiras to Omer. It's a Ramban in Kiddushin. He says that Sfiras to Omer is also not a time-bound mitzvah, even though it's bound very much by time. And some of the Achronim want to be mefarish that Sfiras to Omer is really bound by a carbon. You say Sfiras to Omer after you bring the carbon to Omer is always brought on the same day. And then you start Sfiras to Omer. Nowadays, we don't have the Korban Omer, so Sfiras Omer will be Midirabbanan. But when you had the Korban Omer, so then Sfiras Omer was based on a Korban. The Korban was based on time, but Sfiras Omer is not time bound. That's the case. If you say Vihigadeti Hayom is the story about giving over the mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to some of the Rishonim, is not a mitzvah that stands by itself, but rather it's a mitzvah of how to eat matzah and how to eat maror. It's an extension of that mitzvah, meaning we're doing it on this night because this is the night, b'shah shematzah u'maror munachim lefanech. When you are eating matzah and maror, now say the story because this is the only way to properly say the story. You can only say this story over when you're reenacting it and reliving it, and that's what makes the story so unique. Which, by the way, means that the story, the Leil HaSeder, if you have little children, it's about the children. If you have big children, it's about the big children. If you have no children at home, it's about the husband and wife. The conversation is not about what good vartlach you have that you heard from the new Haggadah that you bought that was produced this year. Because every year there's new Haggadahs and there's new stories. You could save those for Shulchan Aruch. You could save them for Chol HaMoed. You could save it for the next day, for tomorrow. You know what the night is about? It's about connecting with your children, with your spouse, with yourself, to relive and to reenact the liberation of Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim, to feel that story and to feel that emuna that we have in Hashem, that with His help we were able to break free. That is the avoda of Seder night. And if you have a good vort that helps that, you could say it. If it doesn't help that, so save it for Shulchan Aruch. But if you don't have enough vorts that say that, so come prepare. And that's why you have 2 weeks to prepare. How do I relive it? How do I give over to my children that this is the story of our family? And it's such a powerful story that it helps us, because we are in our own Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means that it's tzar, that it's confined, that it's restricted. And we all have different Mitzrayims that we are challenged with, that I'm confined by, that I feel like I'm stuck, whether it's like a bad job or a bad addiction or wasting way too much time on the internet or on my phone or not enough time with doing the things that I want to be doing. I'm stuck. And Leil HaSeder is the Seder, the order to help me get unstuck, to become free. When I feel that, so then I could connect this entire story from what it was to how it's relevant to my life today. And by the way, those are the three steps to get unstuck. Rabbi Gamliel says, Mi shelo amar shlosh advarim elu bepesach lo yatza yedei chovato. If you don't say these three things, you're not yotze. What does that mean? I just need to say it. And if I said it, I am yotze. If you don't internalize these three things, you're not yotze. You're just saying advar Torah, but you're not internalizing the lesson of how to become unstuck, of how to break free from whatever is holding you back, whether it's a bad relationship or it's a bad job or whatever it might be. How do you break free? Three steps: Pesach, Matzah, and Mara. What does that mean? Pesach literally means that Hashem was Pasach, that Hashem jumped over our houses. But Pesach, the Kabbalists teach us, is more powerful than that. Pesach means Pesach, a speaking mouth. What does that mean? So the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, Perek Dalet, brings down, why did we have to go down to Mitzrayim in the first place? Why was Am Yisrael, why did they have to go down to Mitzrayim? Was it because of the Shvatim? Because they fought and they sold Yosef? He says, no. Already Avraham Avinu was promised that Am Yisrael is going to go down to Mitzrayim and they're going to be enslaved and they're going to come out. And Avraham Avinu didn't cry about it. He was davening about Sdom, but he wasn't davening about his own children going down to Mitzrayim. What's going on? Avraham Avinu understood that this is an integral part of our birth as a nation. Explains the Ramchal, the great Kabbalist. The reason why we had to go down to Mitzrayim is because we wanted to create the chosen people, Am Yisrael. Already Avraham Avinu was the one who was Asher Bacharta Be'Avram. Hashem chose him, he chose Hashem. And now his children are going to become a nation. For the nation to be born, they have to go down into the furnace of Mitzrayim. From the furnace of slavery, the nation will be reborn. Why is that? Says the Ramchal, because the darkness and the difficulties that we have in this world really originated where? In the sin of Adam and Chava and Gan Eden. And that brought darkness onto this world all the way to the generation of Avraham Avinu, who started enlightening the world. It all started in the sin of Gan Eden. And in order to perfect it, as a nation, they needed to go through the furnace. And he says, like when you take gold, you want to purify gold from the mountain. You have to put it in the furnace, and then only the pure gold gets extracted. That was the extraction of the pure gold of the Jewish people. And those people will be able to go out of Mitzrayim and receive the Torah. What's the Ramchal teaching us over here? This is very profound. It's a deep Kabbalistic concept, but it's also super practical to how we are going to get out of what's holding us back in our lives. Listen to this. There's one miracle in the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that repeats itself three times. And in a certain way, it's a very basic miracle. But it was the first miracle that started all of the miracles in front of Paro. It was the first sign that Moshe tells Paro. Now you would think, why are you using this sign? This is the sign that Paro starts laughing at. Now what sign am I talking about? The stick. Throws it on the floor and it turns into a snake. Paro starts laughing. Well, you're bringing magic to Hogwarts over here. We know how to do it. We have the Khartoumim, right? Come out, Bray. Brings out all the Khartoumim. Show them that they all took their wands, their sticks. They threw it on the floor and it turned into Slytherin. Slytherin, right? It turned into a snake. What was the big nace there? By the way, when you look at all of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when they draw Paro in the cartoons, what does his crown look like? He's got a snake. Why does it have a snake? What's with the snake over here? The snake was the source and the cause of what? Of Chet Adam Arishon. The snake was the one who caused Adam and Chava to sin. What was the midah of the snake? How did he do it? With his lashon hara. That's why his power is in his tongue. And that's why when he touches you with your tongue, you get poisonous. Because he's got a poisonous tongue that emits poison. It's lashon hara. And that's what brought death onto the world. And that's what brought death to Adam and Chava. Because they listened to his lashon hara. Because he said, oh, God said, don't eat from this tree. Because he ate from the tree the other day. And that's how he became God. And they believed him. They believed the lashon hara. And lashon hara brought death onto the world. The entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is perfecting that. Moshe Rabbeinu, when was the first time that he does the stick that turns into a snake? When is the first time he does that? By the burning bush. By the burning bush, he sees the burning bush and Hashem, and he says, how will they believe me? So Hashem says, what do you have in your hand? A stick. He throws it on the floor, and he gets it, and he's all scared. What does Rashi say? Why did it turn into a snake? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, a little bit on his level, spoke Lashon Hara. He said, Vehem lo yaminu li. They won't believe me. You think Am Yisrael won't believe you? Why are you saying Lashon Hara against my people, says Hashem? Right away, the miracle is that the stick turns into a snake. Moshe, our whole avoda is to undo the chait of Adam HaRishon. That's the message you have to bring to Bnei Yisrael. That's the message you have to bring to Paro. When Moshe comes in front of the Jewish people and the elders say, well, how are we going to believe you? He has three miracles to show them, right? The stick, the taras, and the water turning into blood. The first one is the stick turning into the snake. Why is that? Because Moshe, remember when Moshe Rabbeinu first started interacting with the Jews? When did that happen? He goes out, he sees a Mitzri hitting at this, he kills the Mitzri. The next day, he goes and he sees two Jews that are fighting, Dasan and Aviram. And he goes and he stops them. And they tell him, Rasha Lamataka Esrecha. He tells them, Rasha Lamataka Esrecha. And they say, oh, you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri the other day. What does Moshe respond? Achen Nodadava. What does Rashi over there say? Achen Nodadava. Pashup Shah means, oh, I'm revealed. That's it. They're on to me. I got to run away. Rashi says, Achen Nodadava. It is now known why the Jewish people are enslaved so much. If Jews are willing to say Lashon Hara on another Jew, that's why we have Gullus. That is why we have Gullus. That's why you know why we went down to Egypt? Because Yosef and the brothers, they spoke Lashon Hara. He spoke Lashon Hara. By the way, all of our galiuses, all of our exiles are because of Lashon Hara, because of negative speech. All of them. Sinas Chinam. Gedalia ben Achikam. The destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash when we have the final destruction. It's always Lashon Hara. That's what brings us to Galus. Achei no da'adavar. The second lesson is, Am Yisrael, we have to perfect ourselves. And finally, to Paro. Paro, how do you spell Paro? Pei Reish Ayin Hey. So you have the Pei here. It's actually from yours. You have the Pei over here and the Hey over here. Right? It's Pei. What does Pei mean? Pei. What's it, what are the letters inside the mouth? Ra. It's negative speech. Paro is all negative speech from the beginning. You know how we got them to become slaves? Biparech. With a soft mouth. Oh, come, we'll work together. Business deal. Swindle them into becoming slaves, our entire nation. Just a little white lie. Right? It's so ingrained in our society. So ingrained in our society. Just like, what? I didn't really lie. It's our way of calming our conscience down. Someone once told me, if you were to actually take out a pen and paper for one day, 24 hours, and write down all the times that we lie, you would be astonished how many times we say the small white lies. Oh, why were you late? Oh, I was in traffic. Were you really in traffic or you got into the car much later? It's true, there was traffic for around 10 seconds. And yes, the car in front of you stopped for a little. Or you got really late into the, and trust me, I know this. I come late, unfortunately, many times. And I need to sometimes come up with excuses. Right? Because we can't man up enough to say the emes. But that's para. That's lying. That's paro. Paro is, oh yeah, I'll let you guys go. No, I'm not going to let you go. Just the men. No, forget it. And that's, by the way, the curse of the snake. Because the snake spoke with para. So the snake used to have legs, used to be able to stand up straight, and then everything gets cut off. And then what happens when someone doesn't have legs or hands like a snake? How does he move? Because they can move really fast, but they can't walk straight. He's not a straight person. He's always zigzagging. Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the snake by its tail, and what does it turn into? A stick. He's going to walk straight. Being honest, that's the geula of Mitzrayim, of Pesach. That's why our mitzvah of the night is Pesach, is a talking mouth. Normally we have a mitzvah of what to say. By the Megillah on Purim that we just read, it's also a mitzvah to say over the story, but it's very specific of how you say over the story. You open up the scroll and you read the story. That's it. Not Seder night. Kol hamarbe lesaper hareze meshubach. The more you say, the better it is. The more you speak positive speech, the better it is. The story of Pesach is not a story of one generation. Actually, the text that we read is a text that is piled on from the days of the Mishnah, from the days of the Tanaim, from the days of the Gemara. We have stories of the Tanaim in there, Maitzav Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, Harani Kiven Shivim Shana. You have Tanaim that are saying how they said over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim before the Korban, after the Korban. You have Psukim from the Torah. You have explanations from the Gemara. You have later generations that have added their parts and their stories and their piyutim and their songs and their minhagim. I have these communities across Eretz Yisrael. It's called Mothers with Meaning. So one time I ran a pre-Pesach program. I asked them all to come to the, it was like 40 women. And I asked them all to come with one minhag from their house that they would like to share with the community, with the rest of the women. And then we split them up into groups and they shared over the stories. It's fascinating how many different minhagim have been adapted onto our Seder night. And each one is like, this is my family story. They're not ready to give up on it. What, do you know that they have a minhag? They're hitting each other with onions, with green onions on their heads. and this, and they carry and the ke'ara over the guest, and so many different minhag. It's fascinating. It's not a story of just one that happened then. It's a collective story of Am Yisrael, of Pesach, of Kol HaMarvel Lesapir. If somebody is stuck, the first thing that we need to do to get out of our own Meitzarim is Pesach, is positive speech, is speaking positive to myself, to others, and to stop speaking negative to myself and to others. We sometimes are stuck in our own Meitzarim, in our own jail, because of the negative speech that I can't do it. I can't do it. This is how I am. What do you want from me? Right? How many times do we create these stories for ourselves? And we say, this is what it is. Instead of saying, I can do this. I'm scared, but I got this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to try anyways. Let's do it together. You can do it. You look amazing. You look great. A good word to your child to bring them up. A good word to your spouse. You can look them up. You can lift them. Negative speech? Why'd you do that? Why? Bring them down. The power of words is unbelievable. But that's what either binds us or liberates us. Pesach. Pesach. Speaking now. Then comes matzah. What's matzah? Matzah is that food that we ate. How many times did we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah, by the way? What does it say in that? Why do we eat matzah? Matzah zu al shuma. Why do we eat matzah? Al shum. Shelo yispik betzeikom shel avoseinu. They left in a haste. They left in a rush, right? They were so rushed to leave. So therefore, when did they eat matzah for the first time? If they left in a rush and they didn't have time for it, so it means that they left and then it didn't rise. So they ate it for the first time where? In the desert. But that's not what it says in the verse. They had a mitzvah the night before Leila Seder to have a carbon Pesach and to eat matzah and to eat maror. They ate matzah before they left. And then they also ate matzah when they left. So why do we have matzah? Because they left in a rush. They also ate before. And so why did they leave in a rush? And they were told to leave in a rush in order so that we should eat matzah. What's going on? Matzah, Hashem wanted us to understand that there's, first of all, two types of matzah. There's matzah of lechem oni, which we say halach ma'anya. It's lechem oni. This is the poor man's bread that we ate when we were slaves in Egypt. And then there is matzah of bnei chorin, of liberation. Which, by the way, when we take our middle matzah, we split it in half. We're symbolizing that there's two parts to this matzah. There's matzah that I'm a slave, and there's matzah that I'm a ben chorin. Women can find, relate to this. You could be a mom, and you're working so hard, and sometimes you feel that you are eating matzah of a slave. And sometimes you're like, this is matzah of bnei chorin. You could be slaving over the dishes or over the food. So you feel, I can't believe I'm doing this. But then you're feeding it to your children and to your family. And they're all like so happy. And you're like, this is bnei chorin. It's like the same activity. You're like feeling double feelings at the same time. But it is. It's two separate things. One is the story that we remember the difficulty that we had, but also we remember that we get liberated. And Hashem told us, you have to leave in a haste. Why do you have to leave in a haste? You leave in a haste so that you should remember to eat matzah. Again, the concept of matzah existed before Leila Seder in Mitzrayim. You know where it existed the first time? Where does matzah appear the first time in the Torah? By Lot. The Malachim come to him, when is that? It's the night of Leila Seder. We're going to try to finish so we can catch Marv at 9 o'clock. So Lot comes
and he gives them matzah because there's an energy, the night of the Seder, to be liberated. And the way to be liberated is through Pesach, matzah, and marim. What is matzah? There's no difference between matzah and bread. It's flour and water. What's the difference?
Yeast, time.
There's yeast that helps it rise. But by the way, if you let it sit enough, it will rise. It's the time that you have to do right away. Mitzvah ba'li adecha al tachmitzena. Don't let it turn into chametz. Don't miss the opportunity. In modern Hebrew, you say lachmitz et hizdamnut. Chametz means that you missed an opportunity. How many times we get inspired to make a change in our life? That's it. I'm starting a diet. We're going to do it. When am I starting the diet? Tomorrow after this milkshake. Right? Because I'm inspired, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. Doesn't last till tomorrow. You missed the opportunity. Person wants to break free from whatever he wants, whether it's to put a filter on his internet or to start a diet, whatever it might be. You can't wait for tomorrow. If you're inspired right now, if there's a shiur right now, if you were in Eretz Yisrael for a thing, you were at a Yom Kippur or a davening, whatever it might be that inspired, we all have those moments of inspiration. I got it. I'm going to do it. This is the person I want to be. There comes that little Yetzer Hara, which is a little bit of yeast that says, you know what, let's just wait till tomorrow and then we'll do it. You sleep on it, you forgot your inspiration, you're back to chametz and rising and gaiva and haughtiness and ego and all of the things that chametz represents, and you missed out on the opportunity to be liberated, which is the second step of matzah. And finally is the step of mara. Why would we eat mara? We were already enslaved a long time ago. So we already spoke about reliving it, reenacting it. But it's an integral part of breaking free from whatever is holding us back. Because Marah represents that if you're going through a hard time, you don't neglect it. You don't try to say, this never happened to me. Somebody had a bad experience by saying and trying to brush over it and ignore it. It doesn't help you liberate from it. You have to face the challenges and you have to understand that we grow from our challenges. It is our most difficult moments in our lives that make us who we are today. It is overcoming our difficulties in our relationships that strengthen the relationship more than it ever was. It is specifically the challenges that we go through that bring us to our liberation. It's hard at the time to stop and think that and to say, why do I have to go through this? This is so difficult. But the Maror Leila Seder is here to remind us that we were enslaved. And while we are enslaved, we understand that from here is going to be the Gula. And that was an emuna, the emuna that the women held Am Yisrael from the beginning. We start with that. It's okay. There was.
Where's Marv going to be with Goldberg?
I think it hears.
I'm listening to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, mute.
Beautiful. Excellent. We got you. When one experiences difficulties in his life, he needs to be able to step into those difficulties and in a certain way embrace them, because that's what gives us the energy to come out of the challenges that we're in. Leila Seder night is that night that gave Am Yisrael the hope during the most difficult of times. It didn't matter if they were the Anusim, the Muranos during the Inquisition, or at a bunker during the Holocaust, or whatever difficult time period the Jewish people were in. Leila Seder night, they felt free. They were liberated. They were royalty. They were Pesach. They were speaking positive words of Emunah. They were able to understand that the Maror is just a part of our Geula, and they were able to seize the moment that they were in to allow themselves to be liberated. It's also, by the way, the same Leila Seder is the Seder that during our times of glory, when we're successful, when we're matzliach, that we eat the same matzah and maror that reminds us of our slavery so that we teach our children that humanity cannot enslave other people. That we're the people that in our days of glory, we also remember the difficulties, to remember that other people should not experience those difficulties as well. And if there's a war going on around the world, that we're doing something about it. And that we care about our brothers and sisters that are there. And we try to make an effort to stop that. That's also our responsibility. The same Seder night helps us get through the most difficult of times, but when we're in the most successful of times, it reminds us to help others get through difficult times and to not let ourselves get ahead of ourselves. This is what Seder night is all about. It's like the basic foundation of our entire Emunah, and it has the tools, the practical tools to help us get out of whatever challenge we're in. If a person feels that they're going through a difficult time, preparing for Leila Seder is our number one avoda for the next 2 weeks. It's the physical preparation, but it's also the mental preparation. Because only when we are mentally prepared, and write for yourself a small list. What are my goals for Leila Seder? What do I want to give over to my children during this night? What lessons, what values, what tradition, and what emunah do I want to give over to my family during this Seder? If you have that list clear, you will be much more focused and aligned with what you want to accomplish and discuss it with your better half so that you'll make sure that it gets done. And try to explain to yourself that this is not just a story that we're giving over, but it's a story that lives with us today and gives us the tools. And by the way, you could discuss real avdus. Who here feels that they're enslaved to something? What are we enslaved to? Maybe we're so scared of talking what we're enslaved to, and that itself we're enslaved to. To our own fears of mayomu, what will people say? But we're able to get out of it through Pesach positive speech, through matzah, through seizing the moments of inspiration and acting on them right away, and through maror, which is understanding that the difficulties that we go through are here to help us propel, to embrace them, and to understand that through the most difficult of times, we are zocha to the biggest of gevura. May we be zocha to see that, to experience that, to give that over to our children, to connect to that ourselves, and to see the full gevura of an era of Amen.
Amen.
Sorry if I delayed.